body, soul, and spirit. Where do they go when you die? By Randolph Dunn and Joe McKinney. Chapter 1. What happens to the body, soul, and spirit? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Genesis 1 verse 2, and God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth. Genesis 1 verses 9 to 10, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind, livestock and creeping things and beast of the earth according to their kind." And it was so. Genesis 1 verse 24. Then God created man, a physical and an eternal being in his likeness of love, righteousness, peace, and mercy. He then told Adam and Eve to take care of the place where he was placed, to be fruitful and multiply and not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they sinned when they yielded to their desires and disobeyed by eating from the tree. This disobedience resulted in physical and eternal death. This applies to all men, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Rom 3:23. God's desire is for all people to change from their sinful way of life, be washed and made clean by the blood of Christ, bring forgiveness of sins, so they could be reconciled to God. To accomplish this, an acceptable sin offering had to be made. Jesus of Nazareth, God in human form, who offered his sinless body as the only and perfect sin offering sacrifice for anyone who puts their faith and trust in Christ through obedience by being buried into his death, raised a new spiritual being, put in Christ's church, and given the Holy Spirit as a gift. Then those in Christ are to grow and mature into God's likeness, love, faithful, peace, mercy, truth, by abiding in Christ's word and living according to his will. If those in Christ remain faithful, their destiny is eternal life with God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and others made righteous by the blood of Christ. However, the destiny of the rebellious, unfaithful, and unrepentant is everlasting death with the devil. People like Job often question what happens after physical death, asking, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" Job 14 verse 14. Before addressing, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" some definitions of words used in this study and a review of man's existence from the beginning is in order. Body, the body is the visible and physical man, the flesh and blood part of man. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Genesis 2 verses 7 to 8. "Your hands fashioned and made me, and now you have destroyed me altogether. Remember that you have made me like clay, and will you return me to the dust?" Job 10 verses 8 to 9. "For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals, one thing befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. Surely, they all have one breath, man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and all return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of man, which goes upward?" Ecclesiastes 3 verses 19 to 21. Death is the cessation of the functioning of the heart, lungs, brain, etc. of the physical body. In the account of the flood, it states everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. Genesis 7 verse 22. The body without the spirit is dead. James 2 verse 26. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Hebrews 9 verses 27 to 38. Comment: man's body was a lifeless form of dirt until God breathed into the body life and gave man a soul and a spirit. Grave: the grave is anywhere the dead physical body is left or put, ocean, wilderness, a tomb, or anything that marks the last remains. Hades: Hades is from the Hebrew word Sheol and the Greek words eidos or hadu, meaning the abode of the souls of the physical dead, the not seen or unseen world of the eternal souls of those who are dead physically. Comment: Some Bibles have erroneously translated Hades and Hadu as hell. But the word for hell is Geni, the place reserved for the devil. This mistranslation has caused much confusion. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Luke 16 verses 19-23. Comment: Hades has a paradise side for the righteous souls and a torment side for those who refuse to obey God, the rebellious, unfaithful, and the wicked. Hell, the Hebrew word Geni originally meant the place where the idolatrous Jews burned their children alive as worship to the gods Moloch and Baal. After the Babylonian exile, this valley became the city dump and a fire was kept constantly burning. It came to signify hell, the everlasting place of the wicked, the opposite of heaven. Easton's Bible Dictionary, PC Study Bible by BibleSoft. Soul, the Greek word sush means man's eternal being, his conscious awareness given to man when God breathed life into him. This is often referred to as the heart or his inner being. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 19-24. Matthew records Jesus stating, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body, they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy your soul and body in hell, Geni, not the Greek word Hadu, Hades." Matthew 10 verse 28. Spirit, the Hebrew word neshama and Greek word pneuma refer to man's spirit God created in him, which returns to God upon man's death. The dust, body, returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7. To the Christians in Rome Paul wrote, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Romans 8 verse 16, 26-27. Comment: the Spirit, when ascribed to God, is generally translated as Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, or just Spirit. Comment: the Aramaic word ruach translated spirit refers to life-breathing animals including man. Chapter 2. Time while Christ was on earth. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, Joseph, in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1 verses 21-22. Comment: Jesus saves his people, not all people. The Apostle John wrote, "The next day he, John, the baptizer, saw Jesus coming toward him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." John 1 verse 29. Thus, it is written, that the Christ should suffer death, by crucifixion, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, Jews and Gentile, beginning from Jerusalem. Luke 24 verses 46-47. Comment: some people claim at death all people will go to heaven. If this were true, then proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins is not necessary. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14 verses 6-7. In him, Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples, "I left the Father and came into the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." John 16 verse 28. Comment, but first Jesus must complete the purpose for which he descended from heaven. The Lamb of God must offer himself to God as the atoning sacrifice as he bore man's sins in his body while on the cross. 2 Peter 2 verse 24. He himself, Christ, bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. Jesus told the thief being crucified with him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23 verse 43. At the ninth hour, just short of dying, Jesus felt forsaken by God, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Matthew 27 verse 26. Christ's spirit then went and proclaimed, Greek word kerusso, meaning herald, proclaim, preach, to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. 1 Peter 3 verses 19 to 20. Comment, the Bible is silent regarding the content of his proclamation. Jesus could have proclaimed to those in paradise that their sins are now forgiven as the perfect atoning sacrifice has been made. Something dramatically changed when Jesus ascended back to the Father. He moved paradise and all the souls therein to heaven. When he ascended up on high, he led a host of captives, and gave gifts to men. Ephesians 4 verse 8. Comment, the host of captives, righteous souls held in paradise have been cleansed, forgiven, and taken up on high, heaven, with Jesus. The souls remaining in the torment side of Hades await the day of judgment. Chapter 3. Time after Christ returned to God. Jesus promised, "I will build my, Christ's, church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Matthew 16 verse 18. Comment, Christ's church is not a building, temple or sanctuary but a body of forgiven sinners made righteous by the blood of Christ. Comment, the gates or entrance to Hades is death, Satan's hold over man. Since death will not prevail over Christ's church, then those in his kingdom who die after Christ's resurrection and ascension are not held captive in Hades. Comment, the wicked remain in Hades, a prison housing the souls of the unforgiven until Christ returns. Paul desired to depart and be with Christ. Philippians 1 verse 23. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Corinthians 5:6-8. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, everlasting torment, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake, living, or asleep, dead, we, those in Christ, may live together with him. Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 9-11. Comment, all this agrees with the desire of Paul. His hope, upon dying, was not to go to Hades where Jesus is no longer to be found but go to heaven, to be with Christ. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. Revelation 6 verse 9. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer, with the prayers of all the saints, on the golden altar before the throne. Revelation 8 verse 3. Comment, in the fifth seal of Revelation 6 verse 9, John saw the souls of martyred Christians that were under the altar, and that altar was in front of God's throne in heaven. So, the martyrs were not in Hades but in heaven. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" John 11 verses 25-26. Comment, Jesus promised that those who live and believe, have faith and trust in Him, would never die. Even though their physical bodies quit working and must be discarded, their souls are eternal and go directly to the paradise part in heaven to be with the Christ who declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14 verse 6. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 14. Comment: the souls of Christians, when their physical bodies die, go to be with Jesus in paradise in heaven, where they will remain until His return, the second coming. Since the souls of the saved are in heaven, then it makes sense they will be with Him when He returns. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. 2 Corinthians 12 verses 2-4. Comment: Paul was caught up in the third heaven, the celestial heaven, the abode of God and paradise, where Christ instructed him, so, paradise was in heaven, not Hades, shortly after Christ's ascension. Comment: to the Jews, the first heaven meant the atmosphere, aerial heavens, the second heaven meant outer space, sidereal heavens, and the third heaven was God's dwelling place. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7 verses 54-60. The destiny of the body, soul and spirit after Christ's ascension. The spirit of all men returns to God and the body returns to dust. The soul of those in Christ goes to paradise in heaven. But the soul goes to torment in Hades awaiting judgment. The most critical question, then, has to be, what must I do to be saved eternally? He who finds the answer to that question will be faced with a serious choice to make. Chapter 4. The Second Coming of Christ. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Act 1:9-11. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Revelation 1 verses 5-7. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matt 11:28-30. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. John 14 verses 2-3. We who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 15 to 17. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and all were judged according to their actions. Revelation 20 verse 13. Comment: death, or the grave, gave up the physical body that had been turned to dust being transformed. The dead in Christ, the bodies of all the righteous, will be changed to immortal bodies to be with God, while the bodies of all the rebellious and wicked will be changed to imperishable bodies to be with Satan. Comment: Hades, not hell, gave up the souls of the wicked, for judgment has come. Comment: the Bible states that Christ will return, but it provides no indication when his second coming will occur. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:50-54. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 7-9. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 verses 12 to 15. Comment: the result of physical death is the same for the wicked and the righteous. Their physical body goes to the grave and returns to earth's elements, while their spirit returns to God who gave it, but not so for their soul. The souls of the righteous go to paradise in heaven with Christ. The souls of those whose names are not written in the book of life go to torment in Hades, awaiting the second coming of Christ and then the judgment. The physical body. Remember also thy Creator, before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, 6-7. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 43-44. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery: we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 50-54. Don't be surprised at this, because the time is coming when all who are in the grave, the dead, will hear his, Christ's, voice and come out, those who have done good to a resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. John 5 verses 28-29. The soul. The souls of the living who are in Christ are growing into the likeness and nature of God, their Father, love, faithful, merciful, truthful and peaceful. The souls of the dead in Christ are in heaven with Christ. Both are waiting for the return of Christ and the second coming. The souls of the living not in Christ are developing into the likeness of the devil, their father, liars, murderers, rebellious, God-haters, lovers of self and the sexually immoral. The souls of the dead wicked and rebellious remain in the torment side of Hades awaiting the second coming of Christ and judgment. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10 verse 28. Comment, hell, is from the Greek word genie meaning the abode of Satan, not Hades, the Greek word eidos, hadou, the abode of departed souls. Comment, the soul stays with the imperishable body even in hell. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Acts 3 verses 22-23. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James 5 verses 19-20. Comment, the physical body and man's soul are not the same. The souls of the righteous dead, whether in the grave, buried at sea or cremated, went to paradise, in Hades until Christ's ascension and now in heaven. Whereas, the soul of the wicked go to torment in Hades awaiting judgment. The Spirit. The Bible is silent regarding to what happens to man's spirit at Christ's second coming. The writer of Ecclesiastes states that the body will decay and return to back to the earth from which it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12 verses 6-7. The body without the spirit is dead. James 2 verse 26. Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Luke 23 verse 46. At his stoning, Stephen called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. When he had said this, he fell asleep, died. Acts 7 verse 59-60. Comment, studies of generations, cultures and races, including the isolated American Indians, African tribes and Aborigines of Australia, reveal that mankind has worshipped some object or being. One can only speculate if it is man's spirit, his soul or both that has this yearning to worship. That yearning or feeling is not sufficient for forgiveness. But those in Christ also have the Spirit of God given to them when God put them into Christ's kingdom. The Spirit of God given to those in Christ. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verse 38. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Acts 5 verse 32. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 verse 13. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Romans 8 verses 8-9. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray the way we should. But the Spirit himself pleads on our behalf with groanings too deep for words. And the one who searches hearts knows exactly what the Spirit is thinking, because his pleadings for God's people accord with God's will. Romans 8 verses 26-27. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. 2 Timothy 1 verses 13-14. Comment, The Spirit of God is given by God to the obedient when they are raised a new spiritual being following his death to sin and burial by being immersed, baptized, into Christ's death. The Spirit of God within man communicates with man's spirit feelings he is unable to verbalize in prayer. What occurs at Christ's second coming? The dead in Christ. The soul comes with Christ in the cloud. The body is transformed to be like Christ's glorious body, immortality, to meet Christ in the cloud. Those alive in Christ, the righteous. The soul meets Christ in the cloud. The body is transformed to be like Christ's glorious body, immortality to meet Christ in the cloud. The dead not in Christ, wicked and rebellious. The spirit remains with God. The body is transformed into an indestructible body. The soul and body await judgment to be sent to everlasting death with the devil and his angels. Those alive not in Christ, wicked and rebellious, await judgment. The spirit returns to God. The body is transformed into an indestructible body. The soul and body await judgment to be sent to everlasting death with the devil and his angels. Another interpretation. There are several ideas from different theological perceptions based upon personal reasoning and interpretation or lack thereof. Many people, if not most, believe all souls go to Hades when they die and remain there until Christ's second coming. They believe Christ did not release the righteous held captive in the paradise side of Hades or take them with him when he ascended back to the Father. At the second coming of Christ, there will not be any righteous souls with him. Their bodies of the righteous will be transformed into immortal bodies, and their souls in paradise of Hades will meet Christ in the cloud. Then they stand before God to be ushered into heaven to be with God, Christ, and all the heavenly host. The wicked and rebellious bodies will be transformed into indestructible bodies. Their transformed indestructible bodies with their souls in torment of Hades will answer to God at the judgment to receive things done in the flesh before being sent to hell to be with the devil and his angels. Chapter 5. What happens on the day of judgment? It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Hebrews 9 verse 27. Comment: once to die, then the judgment, no second chance or reincarnation. And after 6 days Jesus took with him Peter and James, and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Matthew 17 verses 1-3. Comment: so, Moses and Elijah were still in existence as only the flesh had died. They had the same identity as when in the physical body. Therefore, there could not be any reincarnation as their souls were still alive in the Hadean world because the atoning sacrifice required for forgiveness of sin had not been offered up to God. For all of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As certainly as I live, declares the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will praise God." Consequently, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Romans 14 verses 10-12. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. To those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Matt 25:31-34. 42. The righteous. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 15-17. The wicked. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25 verses 31-33. 41. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Revelation 21 verse 8. The author's opinion. The righteous souls and their immortal bodies will be reunited to live eternally with God in heaven. Not so for the rebellious and wicked, for God's word will separate their soul and spirit. God's spirit will return to him. Their soul and imperishable body will be cast into everlasting torment, hell, with Satan and his angels. For the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 4 verses 12-13. Are you living for eternal life or everlasting death? It will either be in heaven with God or in hell with the devil and his angels. Chapter 6. Eternal life. People who believe there is an eternal life and an eternal death attempt to follow some interpretation of God's principles, precepts, and commands. God requires a person to be in Christ to be acceptable. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Comment: the lifestyle of these people will include 1. Loving, honoring, glorifying, praising, and worshiping God as He has directed in His Word. 2. Desiring the best for everyone, even their enemies. 3. Providing for the needs of widows, orphans, and especially Christians. Since it is, in Him, Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, Ephesians 1 verse 7, then our primary concern should be learning how Christ desires us to live and then live accordingly. Christ's commands and teachings are to be found in His Word, the Bible. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law," he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Luke 10 verses 25-29. After relating the parable known as the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus asked which of the three, the Levite, priest, or the Samaritan, was the injured man's neighbor. The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Luke 10 verse 37. We are also told to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, Ephesians 5 verses 1-2, and, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." John 14 verse 15. There are many instructions those in Christ must follow to become imitators of God, thus living in the afterlife with God. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. 1 John 2 verses 15-17. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And his commands are not burdensome. 1 John 5 verses 2-3. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 1 verses 5-7. Comment: God is light, all things good, things done in the open, love, truth, mercy, kindness, faithfulness. Comment: Devil is darkness, all things evil, things done in secret, hate, envy, false, vengeance, selfishness. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 verse 3. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. 1 John 1 verses 8-10. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God: every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. 1 John 4 verses 1-3. Comment: Antichrists are those who deny that Jesus of Nazareth was God in a human body of flesh and blood. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So, I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. Ephesians 4 verses 14-19. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3 verses 12-17. Comment: word or deed, are things spoken or things done? They can be either peace and love or strife and hatred. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 verses 5-8. In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them, to others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Jude 18-23. Comment: It is clear from the above that those in Christ must grow. Therefore, the critical question is, how do I grow in order that my life reflects God? I can become more like God by continually reflecting a clearer likeness of His essence and nature, of love, kindness, mercy, truth, and justice as I grow older. Chapter 7. Everlasting Death. Those who believe in neither an afterlife nor an afterdeath, or believe everyone will live eternally with God, live by the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. What is mine is mine. What is yours I will take if I want it. Whoever acquires the most things in life wins. I fear no one, God nor man. I am the one with the power. Consequently, they follow the actions of Adam and Eve, Cain, Esau, and Judas by yielding to their desires and doing what they want to do rather than what God desires. God said to them in Genesis 2 verses 16 to 17, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." But in Genesis 3 verses 4 to 6, 13 we read, "Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" Comment: Adam and Eve believed a lie. Esau yielded to their desires, while Judas, a covetous person, wanted money so badly that he chose everlasting death by betraying Jesus and stealing from his friends. James put it this way in James 1 verses 12 to 15, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Therefore, by the disobedience of Adam and Eve, yielding to their desires, death entered the world, the result of sin. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Romans 5 verse 12. Comment: God said, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it you will surely die." Gen 2:17. Therefore, it was disobedience to God, sin, that death was spread to all men, not sin. But there is hope, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 verses 19 to 23. The following are several references to things God considers sin: lawlessness, rebellion, and disobedience. Those who practice such live for the after death. Genesis 6 verses 5 to 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Genesis 13 verse 13, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Genesis 19 verses 4 to 5, "They called to Lot, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them.'" Comment: the desire for unnatural sex, sex with the same gender. Ephesians 5 verse 5, "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Hebrews 10 verses 26 to 31, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." James 1 verses 19 to 21, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." 2 Peter 2 verses 4 to 11, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous. Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." 2 Peter 2 verses 12 to 17, "But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Comment: people assembling with Christians who profess to be Christians caroused in the daytime, had eyes full of adultery, and were covetous. They had forsaken the right way and gone astray. 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 3-10, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes, in that day, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." Revelation 20 verse 10, "The devil, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Revelation 21 verse 8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 1 John 1 verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Comment: now there may be lots of debating about the nature of the afterdeath. Is it literal or figurative, never-ending torment or annihilation and on and on? Regardless of the nature of the afterdeath, it will be so terrible and so final that no one in his or her right mind would want to be sent there. The eternal residence in the afterdeath will be angels who rebelled, devil, Satan, beast, false prophet, cowardly, fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, liars, sorcerers, sexually immoral, fornicators, idolaters. The good news is that it is not necessary to leave the land of the dying to enter the land of the dead. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Deuteronomy 30:15-20. Comment: the land of the Lord for Israel was the promised land, Canaan. Today the land of the Lord is the kingdom of God, Christ's church, the land of the forgiven. This is discussed in the Bibleway Publishing book A Kingdom Not Made with Hands. God's desire is for those created in his image, his nature, to be reconciled to him and have an intimate relationship with him which occurs immediately following their burial in Christ's blood, death. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some people understand slowness, but is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to perish, but wants everyone to repent. 2 Peter 3:9, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Romans 5:6-10. Comment: repentance is not a mere feeling, it has not the uncertainty of moods and sentiments. It is not a simple change in the weather of the soul. It is a distinct alteration of the focus of the intelligence, it carries with it a movement of the will, in short, it is a revolution in the very ground of the man's being. From The Pulpit Commentary, Volume 18, page 66, quoted in Reflections, No. 515, Al Maxi, January 3, 2012. The most critical question, then, has to be: what must I do to be forgiven of my sins in order to be saved and receive eternal life with God? He who finds the answer to that question will be faced with a serious choice, an everlasting decision to make. Like the Israelites of old, you must choose life or death. Take action, the right time is now.